Glacier Heart was mining country, and always had been. No man living had any clear idea of the full extent of shafts, galleries, and excavations which had been sunk into the bones of the world by generation upon generation of miners. There were charts and maps, yet no one was foolish enough to believe they were anything like comprehensive, or, for that matter, accurate. The mine which had been run under what eventually became Summit House was on none of those charts, none of those maps. It was very old, and Kinnear had often wondered who'd driven it. It was obvious that it had been following a thick bed of coal, but it was equally obvious that the coal had been playing out by the time the mine reached this point, and Summit House was literally miles away from the Greywater or the Terrace Canal. For that matter, Kinnear suspected this particular mine had been abandoned long before the canal had been built or the river's locks had been constructed. So even when it had been productive, just getting the coal to market must have been a backbreaking task. What mattered at the moment, however, was that one long-ago summer, Jason Kinnear had fallen through the well-rotted timbers, covering one of the mine's escape shafts. The shaft had been driven very near the end of the gallery directly under the lodge, with the result that it had been no more than 30 or 40 feet long. More importantly for Kinnear, it was steep, but not vertical. He'd been bruised and winded by the fall, but he'd also been younger at the time, and curiosity had quickly displaced the urge to sit in the dark nursing a barked shin and muttering words of which Mother Church would not have approved. So he'd gotten back to his feet, returned to Summit House, and commandeered Garth Gorgia and Fraidman Thomas, both of whom had already discovered his passion for spelunking, a bag full of candles, a piece of chalk, and a ball of string. He still didn't know why he'd never mentioned his discovery to anyone else. It wasn't that he'd ever decided he'd best keep it secret, against some desperate future need to escape from the Inquisition. And to be honest, he should have mentioned it to someone else, especially if he intended to go on poking around inside the mountain. He hadn't grown up here in Glacier Heart, but as an experienced cave crawler, he'd been only too well aware of the dangers of cave-in, gas, water, accidental falls, all of the manifold ways the world could crush the life out of men rash enough to seek to steal its treasures. He'd been careful, and he'd never been so foolish as to go by himself, although, to be fair, neither he nor Thomas would ever again be able to claim the adjective spry. But he'd steadfastly kept the discovery to himself. Part of it, he'd later realized, was the quiet down in the mine. The stillness, the hush. The old coal mine was a far cry from the natural caves and caverns which had first drawn him into spelunking. It wasn't even very interesting when one came right down to it. It was simply a very long, very deep, very dark hole in the ground. Yet it was a very old hole, and one which had been made by the hands of man, and not the patient wash of water. There was that sense of stepping into the past, of touching the lives of the miners who'd labored here scores, hundreds of years before Kinnear's own birth. In an odd sort of way, that mine had become a cathedral. Its hushed, listening stillness had become a perfect place for him to simply sit and contemplate and feel the presence of God. It had become, in many ways, his true spiritual retreat, and he'd shared it with no one except his secretary, his valet, and God. He'd never actually ordered the other two not to mention their discoveries to anyone else, but he'd realized long ago that both of them had recognized his desire to keep it to himself. He hadn't spent all of his time in the mine in meditation, however. In fact, he'd spent many an hour exploring, rambling through the galleries and shafts. The mountain was solid here, and he'd discovered little of the timbering which could yield to rot and age and create death traps. There was one gallery he'd assiduously avoided after one look at its roof, and he'd encountered several flooded sections which had, obviously, ended exploration in those directions. Still, he'd hiked more than a few miles under the earth's surface, marking the walls as he went, always trailing his string behind him in case of disaster. Now he paused, just inside the shaft he'd discovered so many years before, brushing matted snow off the front of his parka with mittened hands. The short hike from Summit House to the shaft entrance had been enormously harder than he'd let himself expect. The wind was even more violent than he'd thought, listening to it howl around the lodge, and the temperature was still falling. He and Thomas had transported a small stack of essential supplies to the shaft the day after they arrived at the lodge, and it was just as well they hadn't waited. Just the knapsacks each of them wore had been burdensome enough under the current conditions. He finished slapping off as much as he could of the thick skim of snow, then tugged off one mitten and dragged out his fire striker. It was cold enough, and his hand was shivering enough, that it took him longer than usual to get the bullseye lantern lit, but its glow, once he got the wick alight, was ample compensation for his efforts. Most people might have been excused for thinking that the bare, cold rock of the escape shaft's walls could be considered a welcoming sight, but most people weren't Jason Kinnear and didn't know the Inquisition was simply biding its time before it pounced.
"Well, so far so good," he said cheerfully.
"Aye?"
Thomas regarded him skeptically in the lantern glow.
"And how far would so far be being, Your Eminence?"
"The writ tells us the longest journey begins with the first step," Kinnear replied serenely.
"So it does, Your Eminence, and I'm not one to be arguing with the archangels. Still in all, though, it occurs to me we've quite a few other steps to be taking."
"Now that, Fraidman, is a very sound doctrinal point."
Kinnear picked up the lantern and lifted the pole of the two-man, two-wheeled cart on which their supplies were stacked.
"Shall we go?" he invited.